Okay, so the middle of learning about the Bayis Shlishi. The Bayis Shlishi and the Nevuah starting with Parak Mem. We're in the middle of Parak Mem. We're up to Pasuk K. Okay, Pasuk K. No, not Pasuk Dalet. Okay, Parak Mem, Pasuk Dalet, Vayidaber Elai. Ha'ish, so the ish is the malach. The malach spoke to me. Michal, can you close the door? Just close the door. Okay, so again, we're up to Perek Mem, Pasik, Dalid, Vaidaber Lai, Ha'ish. The ish is the malach, Ben Adam. See with your eyes, with your znecha shema. You have to see and listen. There are two things that have to be done. There is seeing and there is listening. And pay attention. It's really three things. Okay, there are three things you have to see, you have to listen, and you have to pay attention. In order that you should see who vasahe, and I brought you over here. Hagade. Speak and relate, deliver as kol asherata royal leves Yisrael. So literally there are four parts. There's to see, there is to listen, there is to understand, and then there is to give over, to combine. What? Sorry?
Stop, look, and listen.
Stop, look, and listen. Okay. Now what's interesting over here is the repetition. The repetition is, for the first of all, there are a lot of you can hear in this class. First of all, is first thing is to see and then is to listen. What comes first? Okay, what do you normally do first when someone when you look at a person? So do you look at their facial gestures, at their body language, or do you listen to what they say? What is primary? What's the ikkar?
It depends what gets your attention first.
Okay, so it all depends. In the Mitzius, the speed of light travels faster than the speed of sound. So normally you see something before you hear something. You see the lightning, and then you hear, a couple of seconds later, you hear the thunder.
On the other hand, you might hear something that gets your attention first, and then you see.
Exactly. And indeed, by Matan Torah, what did it say? It says, V'cholam royim es ha-koilos. They saw the koilos. So it's interesting over here, but yet what we mentioned is that we looked with the Shemona Esrei, Teka b'shoifar gadol l'cheru seinu, v'son neis l'ka b'et skuli yoseinu. First comes Teka, b'shoifar is the sound, right? Teka b'shoifar gadol l'cheru seinu, v'son neis, and then lift up the banner l'ka b'et skuli yoseinu. So the order is first, the Shemona Esrei is first Teka, sound, and then is sight. Where that pasuk comes from in Yeshayah, the order is just the opposite. It's first. I don't know the pasuk on the tip of my tongue, but the pasuk where that pasuk comes from is first comes lift up the banner to see, and then comes to listen to the sound of the shofar. So the first point out, why is it in the Shemona Esrei do we reverse the order? What is the ikur? Is the ikur sound or is the ikur sight? So there are different answers. I don't remember off the top of my head the answers, but it's definitely a topic of discussion. What comes first, is sound or sight coming first? And when you look at this pasuk here, you can't ignore the fact that the malach is telling him when it comes to Bayis Shlishi, first I want you to look, and then I want you to listen. Looking is primary, like v'cholam royim es hakolos, that represents an idea that what you're seeing and hearing is something that's supernatural. Whenever we refer to sight coming before sound, it represents the idea that the sound is a different type of sound. It's a sound that has three dimensions. It's a sound which has a visual representation, a visual image, a visual dimension to it. It opens up the sound into an entirely new dimension. On the other hand, I told you this idea. I found it to be so incredibly fascinating. Is that in marketing? I told you this in the marketing that sound is much more powerful than sight. When you go on a web page and you see something, you just scroll down, you don't even see it, right? It's you, this ad blindness. It's very hard to get your attention, but when you're listening in the car, you listen to the radio and there's a commercial and someone is speaking, you can't help, it goes into your head. The sound penetrates your head. And the scientists say is that sound echoes in your head for approximately 5 seconds. If someone speaks to you, whether you listen or not, the sound of what they've said to you, it just reverberates in your brain cells, the sounds, the echoes in your mind subconsciously, it's churning for 5 seconds. When you see something, it goes in and out, has no effect. It goes in, out, less than a second, a fraction of a second. As you see something, either it draws your attention or not, and you go further. So sound, even if you don't pay attention, is much more powerful. Mr. Marillis told me, if someone tells you, recognize a number, Mr. Marillis, here on the show, he said to me this idea, is that when someone tells you a telephone number, you have to memorize it. You have only 10 seconds to the telephone number. Well, 1 second, they'll tell you the telephone number. So not everyone has a photographic memory. When you hear a telephone number, you could instantly memorize the digits, okay, the 7 to 10 digits. So he said, if you say it, someone tells you the telephone number, and you just repeat it, even the very still person, it's amazing that you're able to remember it at least for 5 more seconds. Enough time until you'll dial the number or you'll write it down. That's an amazing thing. Just repeating the number without even giving any thought has the ability to have an effect upon your mind, where even an average person who does not have a photographic memory is able to absorb the number. So that according to this interpretation, what is more powerful? Is sound or sight more powerful? Sound is more powerful. Sound is much, much more powerful. Sight is much more superficial. And you take that idea together, I told you this idea that when you look at the possible, it's not a maila, it's a chasarain. When it says they saw the kolos, it means they did not take Matan Torah seriously. They saw the kolos. What? Instead of listening to the kolos, instead of listening, which have an impact, it would be with them. It would have a deeper impact, 5 times the impact. 5 seconds more. Matan Torah. The chol, they took the kolos and they diminished the kolos. It was a good show. They saw. They took from sound and they made sound into sight. Meaning, they did not absorb the lessons of Matan Torah, and the proof is in the pudding. Because 40 days later, what did they do? They worshipped the eagle. If they really took Matan Torah, if we really took Matan Torah seriously to the extent that we should have, how could it be that 40 days later, after you see the Ribbono Shel Olam upon him, you go and you worship the eagle? So it's not necessarily a maila for chol ha'am royim. We always learn in Yecheder, for chol ha'am royim es ha'kolos means it was unbelievable. It was supernatural. Mm-hmm. Sound, it was so alive. It was such an experience. It was as if that we were watching the sound turned into sight, the whole new dimension. Okay, that's true. No one's denying ayin panim l'Torah. That's absolutely true. But there's also, based upon what I've told you, this the science, the mitzvah is, sound penetrates. Sight does not penetrate. What, yeah?
That is that we, in all our schooling and Musa, they always tell you, don't look at the newspaper, don't look at the TV, don't look at the
okay, iPad. That's an expression. That's an expression, a colloquial expression.
I always look at it, hello and sometimes I'll say to you, I understand what you're saying. I mean, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. It's an expression. Obviously, it's not accurate, but it means...
It means v'cholam royim es ha'kolos. Understanding, right.
See it, but now when you see it, you have a different level of understanding.
That's more in the
Okay.
Right, exactly.
So that's really what it means. Okay, that's the Pshut Shalmikra, of course. The Pshut Shalmikra is that they understood. It wasn't just that. It wasn't just that they heard. They heard the kolos by Matan Torah. They understood. They absorbed it. But there's also a dimension that Chazal do not say that Riyah is better. All it says in Chazal is Ein Doyne Shmiya L'Riyah. So we interpret that to mean a picture is worth 1,000 words. So it means that Ein Doyne Shmiya L'Riyah, Riyah is much, much better.
And that's but usually what the expression means.
It's true, but that's not necessary. But that's not what Chazal said. It didn't say that Riyah is better. Ain't a doime. You can't compare.
Usually is a value judgment.
So, but ain't a value? You mean it's better? You mean value?
Yes,
you mean by better?
Superior.
I don't know. Not necessarily. You have to analyze Chazal how they use the term. I don't know. So sure, but they did not say the word Einadah means in the you cannot compare. There are advantages to Shemiyah. There are advantages to Re'iyah. Einadah. It's true. In one respect, a picture is worth 1,000 words. But Mitzad Sheni, sound penetrates, and Re'iyah. And Re'iyah does not penetrate to the same degree.
If you have a film or a movie, the sound is ahead of the film, you can understand it. But if the sound is behind it,
you can't understand it. Interesting.
And the picture drives you crazy.
Interesting. So the sound is more important,
yeah,
you're saying.
Yeah, the sound is more important to the understanding of the mind than the picture.
It's very weird. What?
No, you see. You see a crash. If you hear the bang and then you see the crash, it's no problem. But if you hear, if you see
thank
the
you,
crash and then a second later you see, you hear the bang, it's
okay, whatever it is, but this over here, it's interesting over here that in this pasuk, like we said before, is that we're putting over here sight before sound, and then this repetition, and the repetition is that you should see. L'chol ha'sharani mare oisach, sight. I'm showing it to you. So this repetition over here, kilman har oischa, in order that you should see. What do you mean you should? You should hear. You should see and understand and hear the interpretation of these words. Okay, whatever this means. And then hagedes kol hashata royal of Israel. I want you then to take everything I'm telling you. I want you to go and give it over to relay it to the Jewish people. Let's see the mitzvah. Start with pasuk dalid. Pasuk dalid begins in the mitzvahs David. Where is it? Here it is. Re'ev ye'necha shi'ur hamida. See the measurements. Uv'yoznecha shema ma hadavar hanimdad. Listen to what is being measured. Mitzvah breaks it up. See the measurements and see what is being here, what I'm measuring. V'sim l'b'chol l'havin hadavim to understand l'man ha'ro'ischa l'man ha'ro'is l'cha b'nyan ha'bayis ha'asid huvas mi'bavl aramak mazen. Or that you should see the bayis shlit you're being brought from bavl, you're being brought from bavl over here. Hagate kidei le nachamam ulechasek tikvasam. Relay this for what purpose? In order to give them comfort, in order to give them hope. Comfort and hope to the Jewish people. Rashi pasuk dalid. Now it says, L'chol asher ani mara oscha inyan habinyan, the binyan huva sahina mi bavel, the bigbof bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Radak pasuk dalid. Says Vaidam of Ahu itself understood Har Oischa Kosu Behei Achar Akaf Lechein Huvas. That's the style of writing. Pasuk Hey says Vihinei Choyma. Now we begin all the measurements. Okay, now here we begin the measurements. Okay, we begin now the measure. Now I hope everyone over here has a handout. Anyone missing it? Everyone have a handout? Okay, so this is a photocopy from the back of this from the art scroll. The art school Yechezkel. Now they have over here really very, very elaborate color pictures. In my edition, very elaborate color pictures. I usually find the diagrams are more important. We have to first see the diagrams before you can appreciate the three dimensions. That's I'll leave it for now. We don't need it now. There's no one here now. We'll do it later. Okay. So right now, just as a hagama, just to break the ice. Okay, just to break the ice, I'm really going to use a different sefer. I'm not going to use the diagrams from the art class. I have another sefer that has some very good diagrams. I'm going to make photocopies from that sefer. And by the way, as Rabbi Zlotowicz, Zichron Levrach, gave me permission. He told me whenever I want, he told me he's doing something for me that he has not done for anyone. I don't know if that's true. That's what at least I have. If you want, I can show you the email. I have the email. I'm sure I can dig it up, search for the email. That I can copy whatever I want from his farm and make photocopies, provided that I write on the bottom, photocopy with permission. So I'm in violation because today I didn't have time to put that on the bottom. I did not have time to put on the bottom that this is copied with permission. So at least I'm telling you, I'll take it back.
We'll take your word.
Okay, but he told me I can copy whatever because I used to drive him crazy. I used to email him, mayor@artscroll.com. And I would ask him, could I please copy on this page for my shir, 20 copies, 15 copies? So he said, yeah, regards to your father, v'hulu, v'hulu. And then he says, stop bothering me already. Just whatever you want to do, you can do. don't ever ask me again. What?
Carte blanche.
Carte blanche, correct. Okay, that was years ago. Okay.
Still answer
me, okay. give it a try. There are all these funny stories of people get emails, delayed emails. There are delayed email services where you can send emails. La'achar hazman. So people who are on their way out,
If you're reading this, I'm not here.
Yeah, you know, they know they don't have that much time left. They sit in the hospital, and they go and they sign up, and they send out like a whole long list of emails. 5 years, 10 years, 3 months, 2 months after the shiva, after the shlosh, they schedule it. I have to get emails. What? I want to remind you. I want to remind you to say Kaddish. Don't forget. My yard site is coming up. Don't forget. There are these services that you can go online to send emails in the future. Okay, someone showed me that I go there every day now. You know, when I have, not every day, once in a while, called Product Hunt. It's a website called Product Hunt, where they feature all the latest, like the latest new apps, or the latest new, not only even products, new products and apps. Some of them are really amazing. They're really like, wow. Every day they feature like 10 brand new, high-tech, you know, ultra-high-tech new innovations that are, okay, whatever. In any event, let's look at this picture. This picture over here is a very, very general diagram. The details are just beyond my ability. But here we have just a nice overview of the Bayis Shlishi. You see here on the very edge, the perimeter is the Chaimas Har Habayis. Okay, that's the Chaim, the world of Har Habayis. The Har Habayis we all know today, the Kaisel Hamaravi. The Kaisel, so where would be the Kaisel Hamaravi? On the top of the page. Because no, I'm sorry, the back. I'm sorry. The left side. I'm sorry. The left side. Okay, the left side. Marav. Okay, this is a very look on the very bottom. Right in the bottom, it says Tzadi Dalid Mizrach Marav. Okay, Marav. So on the left side.
Orientation.
So basically, the black line. Just a very general orientation. The black line, the big thick black line, the left side of the page is the Kaisel Hamaravi. Okay, so right smack in this center is the Mizbeach. So L'chayra, the Kaislam Ravi, is somewhere right over there, right in that area. And that area, somewhere along the line, a very small section of that long area is the Kaisel HaMaravi. Okay, then you notice, okay, then obviously you go on the east side, that's Harazesim. On the east side, you see the little letters Aleph, Beis, Gimel. Okay, on the right side, the gate going into the right side, so that is right near Har HaZeisim. We're going to spend today focusing on that gate. The gate going on the east, coming into the Har Habayis, leading up into the Azara. Now, if you notice, it's very, very different. Everything over here is nothing like the Bayis Sheni. I have to really make some copies of the Bayis Sheni. It's a nice big square. Okay, the dimensions, everything is very, very different. There really is no Azara. The Azara, that's really the Har Habayis. The Azara, well, Dalid is.
That's an Islamic test. We looked up the steps.
Okay, we're gonna see. The Azara, it's not really the Azara and the Har Habayis are really mixed together, intermingled. It's not like the Bayis Sheni, where there's a very clear separation between the Har Habayis, and then you come into the Azara, and in the Azara, you have the Heichal. Here, right behind the Heichal, what do you have? You really end up coming all the way till you come up to the wall of the Har Habayis. So it's. Okay, so yeah, we'll have to see. Okay, we're just going to break the ice today just to get into the basic ideas, but over here we'll be focusing on the east side. I'm going to focus on this very, very elaborate entrance into the east side of the Har Habayis. We're going to focus on the letters Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. Okay, just those three letters. We'll see how Rashi tries to describe in general terms what these things are, and then maybe tomorrow we'll have some other diagrams to go into more detail, maybe. Pasik hey, v'hine. Choyma michutz labayis saviv. There was a choyma. There was a wall around the bayis saviv, all the way around. Uviyad chish in the hand of the malach. There was a kinei hamida. There was a measuring rod, sheish amos. The measuring rod was 6 amos long. Now, how amos, there are different types of amos. In fact, there are three amos. There's an amos that's made from five tvachim, there's an amos that's made from six tvachim, and there's an amos that's made from six plus tvachim. Six tvachim plus an etzpo, two etzpos, I don't even remember. It's a teeny amount more than six tvachim. Here we're focusing on the amos that comes from exactly six tvachim. A tevach is four fingers. So again, the normal amma is five times four fingers. And then there is the amma that has six tvachim. And that's the exact length of this measuring rod. The measuring rod is an amma of six tvachim. Measuring rod, sheish amos. The measuring rod was exactly six amos. What kind of amma? Bo amma. An amma of a tofach, a standard amma of five tvachim, plus an additional tefach for a total of six tvachim, vayomod, and the malach measured with this staff, esroichav, the width, habinyon, the thickness of the wall. Okay, so you look, how habinyon, kone echad, one measuring rod, the koiman, the height, kone echad, one measuring rod. So if you see here this entranceway, the entranceway into the Beis HaMikdash on the right side, we see that thick wall up against where it says Beis, there are six bases, Aleph, that wall, and not only that wall for that matter, the entire wall all the way along from top to bottom, after you, on the top and the bottom of that wall, the thickness of the wall was six amos, okay, six amos thick, and the height was six. Like a square, it wasn't very tall. So six amos, let's say, is not more than 12 feet. Okay, so 12 feet,
9 to 12 feet.
So that's barely one and a half stories in modern days. So it's like one and a half. It's not all that tall. Like probably, what's the height of this ceiling over here? The height of the ceiling is what? From here, the ground. How long?
About 12-14 feet.
12 to 14 feet. So therefore, the whole. Right. No.
Oh, yeah.
No, I know. I mean, over here, from here to here, is how tall?
Oh, yeah.
How tall is this?
10 feet.
How tall?
No, not more than 8 feet.
Not more than 8 feet?
Wow,
a little bit more.
I don't think it's nine.
It's got to be taller than that.
No.
Top of my finger, it's 6'10". I'm telling you, it's 6'10".
6'10". That's seven.
Finger.
Okay, so about eight, 9 feet. Okay, just try to imagine. Try to imagine that it's about 9 feet.
Imagine.
So. Okay, so think about it. It's about 9. Make believe from here to here is 9. That's the height of the wall. When you come to the Bayi Shlishi and you're sitting in Har HaZeisim, and you're coming there from Har HaZeisim, and you're coming to the east entrance, which is the main entrance, that's where you go into the Ezras Noshim. The height of the wall is not more than, let's assume, 10 feet. 10 feet. The thickness, now what's so amazing is the thickness is 10 feet also. What the thickness of the wall? It's massively thick. Why do you need such a thick wall? Today they have technology that can make walls paper thin that are very, very strong. Okay, the thickness of the wall is massive. 10 feet. That's what it says. Okay, 10 feet. They're not 10 feet.
Yes,
what are they? 2 feet? 2 feet? 3 feet?
You're just seeing the front of it, but it goes all the way in.
No, it doesn't.
10 feet.
It doesn't go 10 feet.
No.
Doesn't go 10 feet. The stones are what? The most. How big are the stones? How 2, 3, 4 feet? The most. Okay, but over here it says that the thickness of the wall, the height is 10 feet and the thickness is 10 feet. It's very, very bizarre, but that's what it says. Now, why was it so low? So we'll see in the farsh. The reason why the wall was slow is because we want people from the outside to see the main hechel. We want people to see the main structure. The main structure is on the left side. Inside, you see the Heichal, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That was massive. That was at least 100 amos tall. Okay, that was 100 amos tall. How tall was that? That was very, very tall. Okay, that was whatever. We'll get to the dimensions at a later point in time. But that structure was massive. So that is the highlight of seeing the Beis HaMikdash. We do not want to obscure from the wall of the Har HaBayis, the wall, the ikar of the Beis HaMikdash, the place where the Shechina is resting, in the Kodesh HaKodashim, which was very, very tall. So therefore, the wall of the Har Bayis was low. And there's a very big machlokes in all the Rishonim. When we say the wall was very low, it was only 10 feet, only what we're calling 6 amos, was that only on the east side, or did that go all the way around on the other 3 sides? So maybe we'll see inside, and people that much, or basically some of Farshim said, also, the deal with here is going to be a little bit different. We're going to talk about that. So some of the Farshim said that only on the east side. This said it says here the wall was very low, what we call very low, only 6 amos. 6 amos was very low. That's only on the east side, only on the right of this piece of paper. But on the other 3 walls, the wall was very, very tall, was massive. Maybe, in fact, it actually closed and enclosed the height of the heich, of the ulam and the heichol, because maybe tznius, maybe the laws of tznius, kol kavuda bas melech penima, demands that the mikdash, the place of the hashuas hashchina, should be completely enveloped, should be sheltered from the world, from the umas ulam. So that's very precious. You don't expose. On one side, it was exposed. It was a low wall, but the other 3 sides had a very, very tall wall. Other rishonim disagree. Okay, it does not say anywhere clearly, does not explicitly say in the Pesukim anywhere exactly the height of the other 3 walls, so it's a mystery. See, part of the mystery about the Tzur of the Bayis Shlishi is not so much what it says, it's what it does not say. Okay, what it does not say. It says a lot about, everything that it says is mysterious. All the Mepharshim say, we really know what this means. It's very mysterious, everything is an hypothesis, everything is speculation. And Rashi says what it means, and in fact over here in this edition they have over here a whole chibur on explaining Rashi. It's called Levushe Srod is a sefer. It's a bayar on Rashi. When Rashi says this, let me explain to you what Rashi really means. And that's also speculation, what Rashi means. So what the pasuk says is mysterious. What Rashi says at times is also mysterious. And it's up to interpretation. Then you have so many other mepharshim. You have all these. Okay, we'll believe that as we'll go through it. Maybe we'll come across some different ideas, different interpretations of exactly what it means. But in addition to the difficulty of understanding exactly what it means, different things that it does say, what's also mysterious, the things that it does not say, and that's a big mystery. So here's the first mystery: it does not say anywhere in these psukim the height of the walls on the other 3 sides of the Har Bayis. And the height of the wall on the east of the Har Bayis, it says, is only a height of 6 amos, which is relatively very, very low. So what about the other walls? So we don't know. And everything is speculation. What was the height on the other 3 sides? Well, what are the arguments? The argument that it should be very, very tall is to shelter the vision, seeing the ulam. Being the ulam is the makam, the heichol is the makam, the hashua sashrina. And the time of Mashiach, there's going to be a very intense resting of the shrina. And it's something which should be hidden. It's sanua.
But,
yeah.
But they have to know that there's going to be drones. You know, I'm not trying to be funny. So what does it mean?
You're making a very good point. You're making a very good point. I don't know. In the modern world, a wall is nothing.
Right.
A wall is nothing. We fly. We go. Soon they're going to be hovercraft.
You're seeing with your eyes.
You're right. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. You're right. I don't know. I don't know.
I would just say that would be.
I don't know. Look, I always wonder. We said we learned. It says in the pasuk when Yom Kippurim, no one is allowed to be when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. No one is allowed to be there. Not only there, we admire the drash in the Yoma, not even in the Heichal. Everyone out. Everyone has to leave the Heichal. The only one that goes in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippurim is Kohen Gadol. No one's allowed to know what happens. And the Yerushalmi says, "What's the chol afilu malach?" Even an angel. That's the whole story with one of the sorcerers. He built a special tunnel to go look, to have vision, to see exactly what the Kohen Gadol does. Afilu malach. So think about it. Today, there's no doubt that this technology, there are satellites, and there is thermal imaging, and there is electronic surveillance, and this technology that we probably don't even know about, where it's a piece of cake for the government to know exactly what's going on inside the building. It doesn't take very much if the government wants to know what's going on in this building, it does not take very much for them to know what's going on. There are satellites, there are drones, there's electronic surveillance. There are all different type of techniques, technology available. And it's Yidua. It's Yidua. Only question is, do they do it? Do they not do it? Is it legal? Is it not legal? But it's Yidua. So think about it. When there's going to be the Baya Shlishi, and the Kohen Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen goes and go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, all of the satellites and all of the modern day electronic surveillance is going to have to shut down. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine they're going to have to shut down all of the satellites that hover over Yerushalayim because they will
maybe
have...
On Shabbos they shut it down anyway.
What?
Did they shut it down on Shabbos?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. But here, because v'chol odom lo yihyeh b'oihel afilu malach. No one is allowed to know. If a malach is not allowed to know what's going on inside, so the spirit of the halacha is even a human being may not go in any way or shape or form. Satellites, thermal imaging, electronic eavesdropping,
the
hulu.
It's only a human being is not allowed to see a malach, but
the spirit. I hear what you're saying. You want to say technically, but if the Torah goes out of its way to tell us that the spirit of the law is even an angel, it's teaching you there cannot be a possibility that any creature in this world has any knowledge of what's taking place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Isn't that interesting? Today, that's almost impossible today, because today it's a very complicated world. Okay, so I don't know the answer. You're saying very, very good. There are drones, there's satellites, there are planes. So what difference does it make if there's a wall, not a wall? It's not anyway shelter your ability to see what's going on. Excellent point. It's a very big mystery. I do not know. Okay, now, going back to the issue that you mentioned before, and that is to see the harabais. This is halacha, and there's many beautiful illustrations of this in Masechta Yoma. The Gemara talks about that when they burnt the par, when they prepared the par aduma, so the Kohen Gadol had to stand in Har HaZeisim and had to be able to look and to see the entrance into the Heichol from the Har HaZeisim. And the problem was his vision was obscured because there was a wall, the wall of the Har HaBayis. And as you come into the Har HaBayis, everything goes up and up and up. There are steps leading up to the Har HaBayis. Then there are steps leading into the Ezras Noshim. And then there are steps leading from the Ezras Noshim, 15 steps going up into the Heichol. And then the Heichol, there are more steps going up to the Azara. And then going up into the Heichol, there are more steps. So even though you're on a mountain, but because everything on the base of Middash goes up, 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 are you going to be able to see into the, is the Kohen who burns the Paradum going to be able to see where he's standing all the way into the entrance, into the Heichol when he burns the par? So the Gemara there has different opinions how he was able to see. Basically two opposite opinions. One opinion is the wall had to be low. Eino chanami. The wall of the Har HaBayis indeed had to be low, so that he would see over the wall. He would see over the wall of the Har HaBayis into the entrances. Others say just the opposite. He did not, there was a way, I don't remember the Gemara, you have to look at the illustrations, you can see through the entrance into the Har HaBayis, you can just barely make it. You can actually see through the entrance of the Har HaBayis, you can actually see all the way through. Now, without going into all the calculations, over the steps, this is an interesting idea. The steps, everything leading up into the Bayis Shlishi appears to be lower. That's what it says here. There are less steps. There are less steps altogether in going into the Heichol than there are in the time of the Bayis Sheni. So therefore it changes everything. Again, I don't have the calculations, and maybe we'll do, maybe we won't. I don't know if I'll, but it's not the same. That whole Gemara, Masechta Yoma, that deals with this issue of being able to see and therefore adjusting and calculating where and how are you going to see. Is it going to be through this entrance? Is it going to be over this wall, under this wall, here and there? Is not relevant for the Bayis Shlishi. Because the Bayis Shlishi was completely different. The height, the elevation, the number of steps leading up to the different parts all in the total picture were much less. Not much less, but less. And therefore, you have to readjust. So someone suggests that's exactly why the wall of the Har HaBayis here is so low. The reason why the wall of Harabais has to be very low, not more than 6 amos in height, is because the Kohen Gadol, or the Kohen Skan Kohen, who's going to stand on Harazes, and that's going to burn the Paraduma, Paraduma number 10. Okay, it's going to be the 10th Paraduma, and he's going to be able to go, last to be able to go see inside. If it's, the wall is going to be higher than 6 amos, his vision will be obscured. He won't be able to see. So it has to be very low. So it's very surprising. The wall is going to be a very low wall, not more than 10 feet, 6 amos, so he can see over the wall into the Kodesh, into the entrance of the Heichal. Yeah, we did. Yeah. What did he say? We did it. What did he say? Yeah.
What do you mean that the bias is coming from Bavel? He says
that. No, that Yechezkel was taken. It was brought to Bavel to see.
Like right.
No, to see him. Yeah. Yeah.
Was the wall during the bias Rishon or bias Sheni also a low wall on that side?
It was not as low. It was low, but that's machlex in the Gemara. The Gemara has two opinions, but it was not as low. Even though it was low, it was not 6 amos. It was much taller than 6 amos. I don't remember the calculation. I don't know. But it was not this low.
A wall could serve different functions. It could just be a marker of where of an area.
Okay.
Or it could be for protection. And maybe...
There's no need for protection at this time. So it's just a barrier. Just a barrier. Okay. But in a chadami, so these are all serious issues. What are all these things about? Okay. So now... With that in mind, now let's read the Psukim. We're going to read the Psukim just to get a general overview. Pasuk, we mentioned, let's first see the Radak. Okay, we do the Mitzudos? Do we do the Mitzudos? Do we remember we'll do them more? Okay, let's see the Mitzudos. We didn't even do the Mitzudos yet. Pasuk, V'nei choyma, V'nei re'isi, I saw choyma b'chutz l'bayis, b'chol tzvivoy, b'chu choymas harbayis. Okay, so the word we're discussing now is the choymas har habayis. The big black line around the entire area in this picture. We're going to use a measuring rod. The measuring rod is exactly 6 amos. What kind of amma? An amma that has 6 tfachim, not 5 tfachim. Okay, it's choil. An amma shel chol is a regular amma which is 5 plus 1 more tefach. So therefore it's 6 times 6, it's 36, 36 tfachim. Okay, 36 tfachim, the number 36, I guess must be a significant number. I think it's a little drush over here. Why did I have to go say that the amma was an amma of 5 plus 1? Let it just say it was an amma of 6. So it's teaching us a very powerful, I think, chiddush, and that is, an amma of 6 was kodesh. Only in the Beis Hamidus when they measured in the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, even in the Mishkan, it was 6 because the kodesh. The Gemara is a discussion. The kalim, were the kalim an amma of 5 or the kalim an amma of 6? But the location, the makayim was 6. The makayim, the binyan was 6. Why? So 6 is an amma of 6, a holy amma. It's holy. An amma of 5 is a mundane amma. So you would expect that when we're describing the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Shlishi, at least the outer wall, it should be a holy amma. And just say it. It was, the Kon Amida was Sheish Amosh, Ba'amma, Sheish Amosh, B'Sheish. It doesn't have to go and say an amma plus a tefach. It's indicating, no, you are, it's choil. The wall of Harabayis is mundane. It's choil, but we're giving it sanctity. That's the purpose of this world. The purpose of this world is to sanctify the mundane. You take a piece of food, which is purely mundane, and you make a bracha, so you're giving sanctity to a davar shel choil, to something which is mundane. The Choymas Harabayis is the barrier between Mavdil, Bein Kodesh, L'chol. Until you come to the Harabayis, the earth is Chol. The Beis HaMikdash is Kodesh. This is the transition point. The transition point is described as it's Chol plus another Tefach. The connotation is we're now beginning to create sanctity. We're going to create sanctity from a dover shel chol. We're going to elevate the mundane. doesn't just say the Amma 6. It's a holy Amma. No. It's Be'etzem mundane. We're going to add another Tefach to elevate its status from mundane to Kodesh. Okay. Now, what does it say further? Okay, so this is going to be 36, it's going to be 36 Tefachim. Okay, next words of the Mitzudos, Habinyan. Okay, it was Habinyan return. The structure of the Konecha, Laman Yeh Nira Bebechutz, called Binyone Habayis. The whole structure is going to be, it's going to be a height of 36 around the entire area. The lo yalimeim hachoymahi me'ein haroye l'chein haisa nevucho kizeh noya v'yofya. So he says over here, writes in the Mitzvot, writes, kol binyone habayis. One more time, those words, the height of the wall was one measuring rod, which means 36 tfachim. 6 amos, in our terms, approximately 10 feet. We're called Binyanei Habayis. The Mitzudos does not limit the wall only to the east. He says that the height of this wall went all the way around all four sides. Machlokes, all four sides. Why? V'lo yalim imachoy ma'ahig, because this wall should not obscure the beauty, the image of the Heichol. The Heichol is in the center, or on this piece of paper, it's more towards the left, and that was massive. That went all the way up very, very high. So therefore, in the time of the Bayis Rishon, this is also one of the big mysteries, in the time of the Bayis Sheni, it was 100 Amos. It's massive. For ancient times, that's a massive, massive structure. 100 Amos is almost 200 feet. It's 20 stories. 20-story building in ancient times? A skyscraper. You know how tall 20? How tall is a story? That you go out and go to build a building. How tall they build? How tall is a story? Anyone know? Approximately 10 feet.
What?
A story.
10 feet.
Yeah, 10 feet.
A story. The Lower East Side. Okay, the buildings and the co-ops. They were 20 stories.
Right.
So that's 200 feet.
Right.
They're massive.
It is.
You gotta go. Gotta go. Like you know, pick up your head. The bias Sheni. It says in the Mishnah was 100 amos tall. It's massive. In ancient times, you know what a feat that was to build such a mansion? What?
300 feet?
200 feet. 200. Between 150 to 200 feet. Between 15 to 20 stories. 2,000 years ago to build a structure that tall?
Well, the pyramids were taller than that.
How tall are the pyramids?
Taller than that.
Yeah, but we don't know how they did
it. We don't know, yeah.
It's really amazing to have such a massive structure. And for Nebuchadnezzar, and Titus to destroy it, that's a major, major undertaking. Major thing to build, and it's a major undertaking to take down such a massive structure.
Heavy stones on it.
So tall, how did it even stand? It wasn't necessarily that long. It wasn't so long. But it's definitely something. Now, one of the things that it does not say anywhere, and to the best of my knowledge, does not say anywhere here in these next 8 parakim the height of the Heichel. That's one of the big mysteries. It's left out. The height of the Heichel is left out.
No limitation.
What?
No limitation.
Zach, maybe. So there's something to that. Okay.
Didn't we learn that the Yachin Boyaz was like 32
feet? The Yachin and Boyaz? Maybe, because if the height of the ulam was 100 feet, so the Yochanan and Boaz were massive. They were very massive pillars right in front of the entranceway. Okay, so anyway, then we have here a chitz of the mezuzah, this height of the wall went all the way around all four sides. In order, the reason why it was low, the harbayis was low, is because we did not want to obscure the vision, the sight. When you come to Yerushalayim, you see the massive heichel, which towers all the way up. They have a very, very tall wall going around all four sides. It's going to obscure part of the tzura of the Heichel. This is the sheet of the Mitzvah Sadeh. Let's see Rashi. Rashi begins, Binyan Bayis Echad, Hirani. Hashem showed me the Binyan Bayis Echad, Hirani Bitzvoy Nahar, on the northern side of the mountain. Okay, so this is the north side of Yerushalayim, the Har of Yerushalayim, Bechayma Michutz, and there's a wall. That's the wall we're discussing, Sadeh. Kach Mefarish Mesefa Sefer Sheir Bedoraim. The Habayis Bat Safon, Yerushalayim is towards the south, and the Har Habayis is in the north. It's the north part of Yerushalayim. is a measuring rod. Sheish amos ba'amo v'tefach. The measuring rod was 6 amos, and the amo was made up of an amo and a tefach, 5 plus 1. Sheish, quoting the Targum, sheish amin ba'amsa dihi amo ufeshach. 6 amos comprised of an amo that's 1 and a tefach, which means 5 plus 1. It was gedoyla by, was more, the this amma was more than the other amos by 1 tefach. The average amma was 5 tefachim, and this was 6 tefachim. Zohi amma beinonis, this is the middle amma we learn in the Mishnayis. Be'shpashisha, she amma v'tefach, it's 5 plus 1. The amma, when the amma, the standard amma is bas chamisha is 5. There are 3 amos in the Beis Hamikdash. One was exactly 5 tefachim. One was exactly 6 tefachim, and one was 6 plus. What was the 6 plus used for? It was only used for construction, for labor. When you got a contract from the Beis Hamikdash to supply materials, and the contract stated you have to supply 6 amos. You were paid. You were only paid 6 amos, 1 amos. So you had to supply, let's say, a certain amount of material. That's the length of 1 amma. You were only paid what the market would pay for an amma of 6 tefachim, but you had to supply 6 plus a little bit more, 6 plus a tefach plus another finger. Why? In order that you should not be moil behegdish, because since they're giving you money which is holy and it's impossible to be precise. So if you're going to receive money for your labor and you're going to provide less than what you agreed to give, it turns out the money you have received is holy money that has not been transferred to the building materials, and you're going to be over on Issa Deraisa being Moel Behegdash. So therefore, in order to guarantee that you're not Moel Behegdash, you had to provide more, you had to give a little bit more than what you were required to do. That was the Amma, the large Amma, the one that was an Amma and an Etzba. But here we're dealing with the middle-sized amma, which is an amma, which is exactly 6, and the small one was for mundane purposes, which was 5 tefachim.
Okay, next. In other words, you're saying that it doesn't become hegdash until it's used.
It does not. It's another halacha.
Otherwise, you don't know which.
At what point in time?
Which is
chulin. When it's used, the entire thing is transferred from one to the other, so there's no milah behegdash. Next words of Rashi. Roichaf abinyin oivei hachem. The thickness of the wall was 6. The koimon, the height was kon echad, was 6. Zuhi chaymas chitzona shisav harbayis. This was the outer wall harbayis. Vehi chaysa nemucha, it was low. Kemoisha shaninu. Kol hakesalim shayusham sham hayu gvoyim. Chutz mikoisal mizrochi. The eastern wall. Shakoina sarif es aparu omid bahara hamishra. So Rashi over here seems to contradict himself. First he says, Zohi Choyma HaChitzone Shisoviv Har Habayis. Goes around the entire Har Habayis. And then he says, Vihi Choysa Nemucha, it was low. It was only 6 amos. 6 amos is relatively speaking low. Kumayish Shaninu, Kolak Salam Shayusham Hayu Gvayim Chutzmi Koyslam Mizrahi on the east side. Shakoyna Sefer said that only he's talking about the east side. The only wall that was low in the town of Bayis Shani was the east wall. But the other walls were very, very tall. So what's going on? Does Rashi here mean in the time of the Bayis Shlishi, it's going to be like the Bayis Shani, that only the eastern wall was low and the other walls were tall? Or does he mean to say that all the walls on all 4 sides were low?
But he's quoting a Mishnah, right?
So the way he quotes the Mishnah seems to say that the same thing is applying here in the Bayis Shlishi. But he doesn't say that. He says, Shehi Saviv Har Habayis. So maybe he's only referring to the wall, but he's not telling you the height.
No, he understands it as
except for that, what, this was the only wall that was low? When was except for? That's certainly the case when
they
it came to the Bayis Shani.
Except for the east side.
Which? The Bayis Shlishi, Bayis Shani?
Well,
there's no question the Bayis Shani on the east side was low. Okay, that's there
what
was no.
What does the Mishnah in Midos refer to then?
The east wall only. In the time of the Bayis Shani, the only wall that was low was the east wall. The other walls were tall in the Bayis Shani. The question is, what about the Bayis Shlishi? In the Bayis Shlishi, was it the same pattern? The east wall was low and the other walls were tall? Or in the Bayis Shlishi, all of the walls were low?
Right.
So the Mitzudos Sion Dov explicitly said all of the walls were low. Explicitly, we learned that.
Okay.
Nira Michutz Kol Binyone Habayis. All the way around, why? V'lo yalimeim ha'choyma ha'hi me'ein ha'ro'oye l'chein ha'yisa n'mucha ki zeh ha'yinoyah v'yofyah. in order that you should be able to see the Heichel in its height, its glory. So the wall all the way around was low. Rashi starts off seemingly saying the same thing. We're dealing here with a wall which goes all the way around the entire structure, all the way around the entire Beis HaMikdash, the Har HaBayis. So then it goes on to say the height was only 6. But then Rashi quotes from the Mishnah in Masechta Midos, which tells us only on the east was it low, and the rest was tall. So does Rashi mean to say that the east was low and all the other walls were tall? Or no, he means to say that there, everything is low. I don't know. That's why there are some very mysterious things. Rashi is not...
The tourists all the way around came from the east?
I don't know where they came from. I don't know. Bayis Sheni? I don't know where they came from. I don't know the path. How do they see
the
it?
The entrance was from all sides, but from the east is where you saw it.
Well, there were enemies. The Afghans said there were other issues. We're living during times of war. Yerushalayim it wasn't a pleasant existence. We had enemies surrounding us on all four sides, so we wanted to shelter the Beis Hamikdash from their sight. The Bayis Shlishi is not the same problem. Bayis Shlishi is going to be an Or La'amim. So it's not clear. This is one of the things that is not clear exactly. It's all four walls or not. Okay, now let's see the Radak. The Radak, Pasik, Hey, Vinei Chaim Uchus Abad Abayis Sadev, Shoy Maschilim Livnei Sachem Usav HaRabayis. We're now dealing with the HaRabayis. Ki Yahar Bukhu Bukhlola Nikra Beis HaMikdash. He's giving us over here some words, that terminology. When we refer to the Beis HaMikdash, it does not only refer to the Heichel. It does not only refer to the Azara, the Ezras Nosh. It refers to the entire Temple Mount. The Malach was made as a chayma kama yasu rechava v'koymas, the thickness and the height. Ukne amida hayu by shei shamish ba'ama v'tayfach ba'ama hayidua sheet shel chamish tefachim v'tayfach plus an additional tefach zos ama hayso yisir tefach hayso ba shish tefachim. V'chein amrinan b'mishna amar b'yehuda amas habinin shisha tefachim. V'shalkelim chamisha. Okay, so there were two basic amos, the one that's 5 that was used for the utensils, and there was one that was 6 used for the earth, for the span of the structure, and there was a third that was for the construction. The Yonah Santer game Shesh Amin, the Amsa, the Amma, standard of 5 Ufeshach plus an additional tefach. Okay, the Kaima Kane Echad, or Zeus Hachema Hitzain, Haisa Shefala, Velo Haisa Gavaya Elo Kane Echad. Shemidase, She Shamash Bamash, or Shishwach, Mashar Kosta Hazara, Lo Hoyu Aimdim Lefanov. Ki Kinegan Hashaorim Haisa Aime. So here he says something that is different. The other walls of the Azara, Lo Hoyu Aimdim Lefanov. There were no other walls of the Azara. Ki kineged hasha'arim haya oimed v'chol hasha'arim zeh kineged zeh pesuchim v'hayu gvoyim yoyser mishar habayis lefi goyva mikoymam. And basically what he's saying over here is there is no wall of the Azara. In the Bayis Shlishi, we don't have a separate wall for the Azara. What you see around the Mizbeach is not really called a wall, it's called a gate. They are just sha'arim. Okay, if you remember the image of the Bayis, everyone knows in their mind the image of the Bayis Sheni. You have the Har HaBayis. Okay, that today still exists. You go. The Kosel HaMaravi is the wall of the Har HaBayis, and it goes all the way around. And then when you go up, there's an open area, and in the open area, there's pretty much another wall. That wall is called the Wall of the Azara. The Wall of the Azara. And there's the Ezras Noshim, and then there's the other parts which go directly into the Azara. And then in the Azara there is the Mizbeach, and in the Azara there is the Heichel, which is the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You don't have that in the Bayis Shlishi. The Bayis Shlishi only has a Har HaBayis. Then around the Mizbeach, you have obviously these walls. You see these walls around the Mizbeach in the center. And these are not really called, this is not the wall of the Azara. The proof that it's not the wall of the Azara is because look at the Ulam and look at the Heichel. On the left side, you see the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They're not enclosed within a separate set of walls. There's no separate set of walls enclosing. In the Bayis Sheni, the Mizbeach and the Kodesh, Nekodesh, HaKodashim were all enclosed within an entirely different set of walls. There was a wall for the Harabayis, and there was a wall for the Azara, and in the Azara, there was the Mizbeach, and there was the Kodesh, Nekodesh, HaKodashim. The Mizbeach and the Kodesh, HaKodashim were completely surrounded by a separate wall. You don't have that here. The Kodesh and the Kodesh, HaKodashim were only surrounded by the wall of the Har Habayis. The Mizbeach, to some degree, is surrounded by a wall, but we don't really consider that to be a wall. That's not called the wall of the Azor. That's really just called a set of gates. Special, beautiful, elaborate gates coming into the place where you go onto the Mizbeach. So here we have a major fundamental difference between the Bayis Sheni and the Bayis Rishon. The wall of the Azara does not really exist. All of the entranceways are Mechuvim Zekineg, Zed Radak says, and you come up on the right side, and you come into the Harabayis, so the gate on the Harabayis, as you can see, goes right opposite the gate going up into where the Mizbeach is, and which further leads in, up to the steps going into the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKodashim. Okay, let's go further. Except for the east wall. Okay, now the Ilu Hoya Kaisal Mizrahi Bisharahar Bayas Kavoya. Now he's going back to the Bayas Sheni. The Bayas Sheni, the wall on the east was low. Why was it low? In order that when the Kohen Gadol, when he burnt the Parah, when he burnt the Parah Aduma, he can see from where he's standing on the Harazesim, he can see into the Heichal. If it was too cold, the Ilu Hoya Kaisal Mizrahi Shabahar Bayas Kavoya Hoya Haliros Pisrashalech, you'd not be able to see. If it would obscure his vision. That's why in the time of the Bayis Sheni, all the walls surrounding on the Har Bayis were very, very tall, except for the wall on the east side. That was low. That's why Chutz Mikoisel Mizrahi. Now it's going on to a new topic over here. Biktsas hadvarim, the afal pishe mashmos hakosav ki kol hachoyim hoysa shifol osaviv shlo yiched koysel mizrachi elo omar bistam v'koyme koyme kone echad. It's being a little bit vague, and he's saying over here a mouthful. Now what he's saying over here, a major, major yesoid. Just slips this in, derech agaf. And that is, where did the Bayis Sheni come from? The Bayis Rishon was built by Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo was a Navi. No doubt about it. Shlomo HaMelech was a Navi. David laid out the blueprint. Really go back to David. David and God HaChoyzeh, the Alpi Ruach HaKodesh, there was a Megillah describing the dimensions. What?
They had the architectural plans.
Who gave the architectural plans? God HaChoyzeh, a Navi. It's clear as day, it was a vision, min hashamayim, it was a nevuah. This is how you're going to build the Bayis Rishon. The Bayis Rishon is very different. It's not like the Bayis Sheni. It's not the Bayis Shlishi. It's not like the Mishkan. Very different. Major differences. The Mishkan, we know, Moshe. We have the whole Parashas Truma, Parashat Tetzaveh. Five times in the Torah, you have the Mishkan. Truma, Tetzaveh, Vayakel, Vayakel, Pekudeh.
And
Kisisa. Five times does it talk about the structure of the Mishkan. So we know we got Pesukim, a lot of information to tell us what it looked like. The Bayis Rishon, the whole Sefer Melachim, we have a major chunk of Sefer Melachim, tells us in very nice detail exactly what it looked like. Apiruach HaKadosh. Bayis Shlishi, we have eight Perakim telling us what the Bayis Shlishi looks like. Nevuah, Yecheska. What about the Bayis Sheni? There was no Navi. When they came back to Goyle, Ezra and Nehemiah, Ezra came until after it was already built. Nehemiah was more of a politician. He wasn't on the Madrega of a Navi. So who was the one that made the blueprints to build the Bayis Sheni? And the Bayis Sheni, we have Masechta Midos and Masechta Yoima that describes in great detail what it looked like. And one thing is certain, this does nothing like the Bayis Rishon. So don't tell me that they rebuilt the Bais Rishon. They didn't. They didn't build a Bais because it's not. It's completely different.
This is after Hordis fixed it?
What? Hordis just fixed the outer structure. He didn't make any change in the dimensions inside.
He expanded it to the whole.
The Harabayis he expanded. He didn't expand the Azara. He didn't make any changes. He maybe fixed the walls of the Azara. Maybe fixed the walls, and maybe he gave money. They can build a new Mizbeach, and they can make renovations.
Like the shul. Let's say the shul originally was over to here. So he expanded it.
He expanded it, and he maybe enhanced, but what Hordis just, everything in the Bayis, the main parts of the Bayis Sheni remained the same constant from beginning to end. The only thing that was expanded was the Har HaBayis, but not the actual Azora, not the actual things inside the Bayis Sheni itself. So here's the big mystery. Where did the architectural plans for the Bayis Sheni come from? It did not come from the Bayis Rishon, it didn't come from the Mishkan, and it didn't come from the Bayis Shlishi, as far as we can see. So where did it come from? So the Tiferes Yisrael, he lays it out very well in the beginning of Masechta, I think Masechta Midos. And here the Radak Kamat says the same thing in a few words, and he says, when they built the Bayis Sheni, the architectural plans were taken from the Bayis Shlishi. The problem was they didn't understand it. It's like, you know, a guy you buy a nice expensive vanity, right? Very $5,000 vanity sink and a medicine cabinet, and you're not a plumber. You never in your life did plumbing. And you have all these instructions, and you have all these screws.
Mm-hmm.
And you buy a couple of tools, and it's written in Spanish, and you sit around breaking your head. How do I install this? How do I do this? What is this screw for? And you do the best you can. And when you're finished, you have a lot of screws left over. You have a lot of parts left over. What does this do? What does this do?
You have no screws.
And you wonder why it doesn't work so well, right? You wonder why. I have no experience installing, putting this together. I don't know all these parts. I can't read the instructions. I do the best that I can. I can't afford to go have a plumber for $20,000 to do it for me, so I do the best that I can. So you know what it looks like at the end. That's exactly what they did to build the Bayis Shlishi. The Bayis Sheni. They took the blueprints of the Bayis Shlishi. Doesn't make any sense. We have no idea what it means. Everything that all these pictures. Art scroll. They had this. They used this. Why? They drew the same pictures. No, they drew the same pictures. Like they took it. They went through it very well. So they drew all the pictures. This is what it seems. We learned that today. The Hagade relate. I'm giving you the dimensions.
So blueprints.
They heard. They took what Yechezkel said. Yechezkel was long gone. Yechezkel died by this point in time for sure. They had a record of what he said. They didn't really understand what it said. But they did, we'll do the best that we can. We'll do the best that we can. We'll decipher the instructions. And it'll be good b'di'evet. It's not l'chatchila. And when Mashiach will come, Eliyahu HaNavi will come, we'll fix it up. We'll figure out where all the other screws go. And we have to take it apart and redo it. We'll take it apart and redo it. But at least we yoytze. The Poskim said, listen, yoytze, ein Torah labashamayim. If you can build the Bayis Sheni and you can tell me that the Bayis Sheni, it fits into the Pasuk, even though it might not be the best shot in the Pasuk. In other words, everything that we're going to read over here, you have to find a way to fit the Bayis Sheni into the Pesukim. It has to also fit into these Pesukim. And they built a simplified version of the blueprints of the Bayis Shlishi. Because the Bayis Sheni really was the Bayis Shlishi. They were yearning the Geula. It was never meant to be a Bayis Sheni. It's only meant to be the Bayis Shlishi. It was just a b'di'evet version of the Bayis Shlishi. These are the very powerful words of the Radak. The Tiferes Yisrael, he's famous for saying this. I never heard anyone quote the Radak. I always people quote the Tiferes Yisrof is saying this, but he really says exactly the same thing over here in these few words. Do those words again. It's just they're very, very powerful words. I lost the place here, 1 second. Okay, look at those words again. V'cheid omer raboseinu zal, okay, b'niksas dvarim mizoha nevua. I'm on the wrong page. Just 1 second. It's another radak I marked off. One more time, those words again. It's the middle of the radak. Middle of the radak, towards the end. Oimer b'choymas harabaye shichitzen v'oili v'goyla os v'oili ha'goyla. The baye sheni. Asu ha'binyan kidmus in the image. Shera'uhu b'binyan yecheskel he'osid. So if you ask the average person, tell me, I ask this question. So where did it come from, the blueprints? What are they going to tell you? It's a watered down version of the Bayis Rishon. That's what I always thought. Because there are striking similarities between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni, it's different. But there are major similarities. If you ask the average person, that's what he's going to tell you. That the Bayis Sheni is really a replica of the Bayis Rishon. That's wrong. That's dead wrong. The Bayis Rishon is over. Finished. Gone. No more. No more Yochan Abayas. No more Yamshel Shlomo. No more giant-sized Kruvim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. No, none of this. Gone. It's all gone. The whole Bayis Rishon is gone. It's history. It's amazing. It's a frightening thing. It's real. It's all gone. Oh, the Bayis Sheni? No. The Bayis Sheni is the beginning of the Bayis Shlishi. That's what he says. Shirohu bebinyan yecheskel ha'osid b'ktsas devarim. The af al pi shemashmos ha'kosav al pi. Okay, that's it. They did the best they can. Whatever we can extract from what it says over here is what we're going to do. Whatever we don't know, we'll leave the screws and parts for Eliyahu Navi to show us where they fit. Okay, so this is at least the very beginning. So let's see over here. Rash. What? Yeah.
When you stand on Har Zeisim, or even on the Hebrew University Har Tzofim, you actually can look down into Har Abayim.
That's right.
So the Kayan Gadol, if he's standing on Har Zeisim,
but that's not Har Tzofim. Is what side? Is that that's not Har Zeisim? Har Tzofim is not the east.
The
north, that's the opposite.
Har Zeisim, there's a spot on Har Zeisim. You stand there, you can look straight into the Hazar.
I don't know what to say. I don't know. Chazal seemed to say, I don't know. I really don't know. Chazal seemed to say that there was a problem. In the location where they would burn the Paraduma, where they want to burn the Paraduma, I don't know more than that. I don't know. There was a problem. They could not see the Har Habai. They could not see the Hechel. And therefore, they had to make adjustments in the height of the walls and the gates to make sure that you can see. And this is also going to have to be taken into consideration when they build the Bayis Shlishi, because the Bayis Shlishi is going to be different, the steps are different, and there are also going to be issues. Now, just look at it on the piece of paper to wind down. So this, what have we learned so far? All we learned so far is really one thing, is the thickness of the entrance going in, the black line on the very, very edge of the paper on the right side. It was 6 amos wide and 6 amos tall. That's all we learned today. So you see over here on the guide on the bottom, you see amos, 0 to 100 amos. So you can actually see. You see 0 to 10. So you see 0 to 10. So you take a little bit more than half of that. That equals the thickness of the wall, the entrance coming in from the outside, coming into that first little section. You see that gray area? Those are steps. There are 12 steps over there. There are 12 steps going up in that area, and those 12 steps are equal to the area of the thickness, which is going to be 6. It's going to be 6 amos. Okay, so this Bali Neder, we're going to go into this much more detail tomorrow with different diagrams. I'm going to have a very good sefer. We're going to use some diagrams. So I'll stop here.
This diagram you don't need anymore.
No, save it. Come back to it.